It's like our society is crying for that remembrance of our sacred nature and our sacred rites of passage and the depth and meaning of our lives, you know, and the connection with each other and the rise into kingship and the elders really to be there to champion and bring their wisdom and for him to be able to look in either direction of the timeline and see the next generation coming up and go, oh, okay, I'm informed by the children of what needs to be built. And I'm informed by the elders of the wisdom of what has come before. Yeah, and it's fresh for me because I just went through with a couple and really, you know, helping to initiate them into their marriage. And it's initiating both king and queen forward in their era, you know, together, to stand together and be in that co-leadership.
I'm Dr. Michael Diamond, and this is Ignite the King, the place for men to tap into their power, passion, and embrace their true potential, where we will journey together and give you the tools to reclaim sovereignty, purpose, and leadership in your life. It's time to rise up and let your adventure begin. And we are back with another episode of the Ignite the King podcast. My beautiful co-host, my wife, my beloved Nani Leia Diamond. Ah, so good to see you on the other side of the screen, as in every moment of my life. So here we go with what we've been doing. Want to say hi?
Hi.
You know, we got so wrapped up in our first recording last week that we said we were going to talk about three things and we talked about one thing. And in hindsight, realized we are going to cover those other two things in this episode and the next episode. Seeing a man in his kingship, what does that look like? So maybe you want to recap a little bit from last week, and then we'll drop into what we're going to talk about this week of how you see a man in his kingship.
You want to recap?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do it.
First time ever last week, I took notes. Yeah, it's a man in his knowing and having right relationship with power and standing in his desire. We talked a lot about desire. And a man knowing who he is, what he wants. And when he walks into a room, the women in the room know who's the king in the room and an embodiment of that energy. I took notes. I told you. I listened.
Yay.
Yeah. So we got so deep in that that we never got to the next two ways that men show up in their kingship. And today we're going to focus on that number two. So I'm excited. Got my notebook ready. I'm ready to take more notes.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me here and for bringing in this topic. I'll say what is really important that we both really have as a mission in the world is remembering that there are time periods in our life. There's eras in our life. And really, there are rites of passage that we cross through as we move from one era to the next. And we've lost our rites of passages. I know you talk about that a lot. And that's what we do in our work together is bring those back in beautiful ways, meaningful ways. And they help to give a person kind of a map of where they are in their life and what that time period in that era is about. And rites of passage are ancient, you know, and they reach into the depths of our subconscious mind and our sense of self and our superconscious and give us a sense of who we be in our lifetime, in our evolution, and can help us to see the progress of our evolution in the different eras that we walk through. And so the king, while it's an archetype, while it's a kind of an identity that a man embodies, one of the things that I feel like is so powerful to remember is that it's also a time period in his life. Much like for women, there is the blueprint of the triple goddess, which is one of the most ancient symbols that's found all over the world. You know, if you go traveled a lot to the ancient temples in Egypt or in ancient Greece or in, you know, even Avalon and seeing what symbols are there that are etched into some of the oldest places that are temples, that are sacred sites. And the symbol of the triple goddess is one that is one of the oldest on record that they can find for the symbol of those rites of passage. And for a woman, that is traditionally the maiden period, or the little girl, the young woman. And then she crosses into the mother, or how I really represent that is that first there's the queen before the mother, usually. And the queen mother is a whole time period. And then after that, the third one is the crone, or the elder. And men have the same, similar blueprint. And as I've been contemplating the triple goddess and the symbols and how ancient they are and what they represent, is that the sign of a woman and her fertility, the sign of a goddess, if you go way back, it's not even really depicting like man or woman. It's depicting the sign of a goddess depicts, like represents, symbolizes life itself. And so rather than having the triple goddess be only for women, it's the blueprint of life itself, that we go through these three distinct rites of passage. And one is, for the man, the prince period, the time of growing up and being a little boy. And it's a time where you're not the one in charge and you're being conditioned by the tribe and by your family and by the environment. And you're being taught, what life is and what it's about. And that's a whole time period. And it's beautiful. And you're not meant to have too much responsibility. You're meant to explore. You're meant to, I say go in and try everything at the buffet, kind of just get your palate open, experience life. It's that college time where you're just seeing what's out there. It's more about the variety of experiences so that you can get to know yourself in that time. And moving from that prince to king, it's the king is not only an archetype that you embody, it's a time period of your life. So it's crossing over into a totally different era of who you be. And I know that you and I both, we create these rites of passage, these ways of men and women moving into that time period. So it becomes like a real embodied experience that I have crossed over. I am in this new space.
A non-traumatic way of crossing over.
Yeah, a way that, has built in honor and a respect that's earned. So the thing about the king era that I wanted to bring into the conversation today is that when a man really recognizes that it's an era of his life, like there'll be a moment where he moves into elder.
I was just going to ask elders next. Yep.
Yeah, he's the elder or the sage.
Yep.
And that becomes a time period again where you're more dependent on the tribe. You're not the one who's, the king. Really, some of the ways to see, who's the king is who's in charge, who's making the decisions, who's leading forward, what's happening. And when you see the grandparents, they start to move into the sage and the elder, and they stop being, or at least, and that's where some of the challenge can happen, is some of them will never move into elder. They always want to be the one in charge. And there's a lot of challenge that can happen there too.
I'm sure no one out there can relate to that.
Yeah, it happens. And I think a lot of that has to do with our whole social structure, where we don't have a very beautiful place for the elders to be honored. So of course, they're like, where am I going to go? All the old folks home, and just the way that they're seen as not as important anymore.
It's like everyone fend for themselves in a lot of ways. There isn't that support up the chain as much. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So it's like when you bring in your kingship, it's like reinstating more of a sacred blueprint for life that has been ancient, that remembers that there are these distinct eras and time periods, and you kind of respect the time period that you're in. And you can feel it in a man when he's really aware and embodied that, this is my time. This is my time to make my mark, to see what evolutionary batons I can move forward, to see how I can better the world. And so that comes into mission. But I think that mission in the commercial culture can just look like, how am I going to make money and get status?
Right.
And so a real king is a man whose mission is bigger than himself. And he's kind of dropped into this servant leadership where it's a duty, because he knows it's just an era and it's going to go by and then it's going to be gone. So there's a sense of duty and nobility that he shepherds forward in himself. And it's about what legacy am I going to leave? And you can tell that it's meaningful to him. And so even in the things that he does, there's an energy behind it where the meaning in it is so rich, and his actions and his words and his leadership directive can be so trusted by one, like a woman will just want to just sink into that and like really feel so provided for and protected in his leadership.
It kind of goes back to the number one thing where a man knowing himself, right? Where she just can trust in that, that he knows himself. But like this era piece, you know, I really talk about it as like, we call it kingship because you're the captain of the ship for a little while. And yeah, you're the young king, you're the king, and then you're the old king. They got to make way for the young kings. That's, it is the cycle of life. Time is an interesting thing in that way, as far as having perspective and reflecting on. And I shared with you recently, just experience I've had this weekend, just seeing a father that's challenged in illness and having a four-year-old son and just seeing that son and just that evolution of family and just all that goes into that puts a lot of things in perspective. So yeah, I want to highlight that because this is really a key piece in what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's a consciousness that he is coming from, you know, and it's all the energy from which we create, right? Guides and determines our creation. So the kingship being dropped in to a deeper mission, when he recognizes, you know, sometimes we can live in our life thinking that it's going to go on forever. And we realize that it's really, you know, quite short, our time here on the planet. And there's a sense of like making every day count and making every word count and making every action count, because you realize that this is your time period and that you're standing on shoulders that came before you, and you're also responsible to the world that you're leaving to the next generation. And so there's this sense of like, I'm not wasting time here. Like, I mean what I mean. I say what I say.
Men as fathers feel that way often, where it's like, it's their duty, it's their responsibility. It's a huge thing to take on. And that's, men have to grow into that. But when they really get, this is my duty, it's my responsibility, and to take full ownership of that, that's the work.
Yeah. Yeah. In contrast, what you can see is a man who's like going through the motions of his job, but if there isn't like a deep meaning to it, or even if he's making a lot of money or has status or whatever, it's like, it's empty.
How many men out there feel empty in those pursuits right now, listening to this?
Yeah. And a lot of the symptoms are cultural symptoms. It's like our society is crying for that remembrance of our sacred nature and our sacred rites of passage and the depth and meaning of our lives, you know, and the connection with each other and the rise into kingship and the elders really to be there to champion and bring their wisdom, and for him to be able to look in either direction of the timeline and see the next generation coming up and go, oh, okay, I'm informed by the children of what needs to be built. And I'm informed by the elders of the wisdom of what has come before. Yeah. And it's fresh for me because I just went through with a couple and really, you know, helping to initiate them into their marriage. And it's initiating both king and queen forward in their era, you know, together, to stand together and be in that co-leadership. And so for the man to stand at the edge of that rite of passage where he's like, I'm crossing into king, like this is my time. And as he does, he's not walking alone. He's like holding hands with the children and recognizing, wow. And he can feel into that timeline of the children and the energy and codes and what they're feeding in him as information and as wisdom that tells him what he's there to build, that he's going to pass on to them. And if you listen to the children, like really listen and listen to what they're going through and listen to, you know, where are they at? Where's their health? Where's their joy? Where's their, you know, happiness? Where's their, like, what are they connected to the earth? Are they connected to each other? Are they connected to their emotions? Do they know how to, you know, be like strong men in the world? All of that evaluation of the children informs him of what he's there to build.
It's like the baby giving the saliva back to the mother to have her milk, her body interpret what the milk needs, you know?
That's true. Yeah, we take in the cues from our environment as servant, but that's also an indicator of servant leadership.
Yeah. Well, the king is wise, and the king needs to be monitoring his kingdom. And for a man out there, his kingdom is his home, his kingdom is his family, his queen, his wife. those in his direct sphere of influence in his business. So he needs to be taking inventory all the time. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance, right? That's Aldous Huxley. That's like, you have to be, as you would say, Nani Lay, you got to be white on rice. Their practice in chiropractic network office would be, I'm white on rice with your spine. I know exactly what's going on. Take inventory.
Yeah. And I just want to give a little teaser for the third aspect of what we're talking about. I'll really bring in like with his queen and with that aspect of the third part of our series here. But right now, just speaking about the era itself and that he's aware that he's in an era and that he's aware that it's his time to contribute. And there'll be a time where, you know, he's no longer the leader. And so he's connected to that timeline of like the children and the elders and knows that he's standing on shoulders. He's there because of everything that has come before him. And so there's an honor and respect of the elders as well. There's like making sure that they are taken care of, you know, and also the children. Like, okay, it's a sense of like when you go into your mission, that's a part of the energy that's felt in every action. And I can feel it in you, babe. I mean, I know when you became a father, it was like, oh, your mission got down to like the bones of you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And I know everything you do has that feeling of like brick by brick, stone by stone, I'm building the world that the next generation will inherit.
It's the only way. Yeah. And I know men out there listening, you know, some feel in their mission, some like, what the hell are you talking about? Some feel lost, some feel, and I think you referenced it earlier, just kind of going through the motions of their day, but maybe not feeling that progress and want to step more into this era of their life and the courage and the bravery that it takes to make big changes. And to, I think a lot of it, like you said, is just taking inventory and kind of seeing what is and being oftentimes real with what is. Right? Not sugarcoating it, not making it something it's not, taking a real hard look. That's like the first step, right? And just even in that, so much of the sort of healing process starts to happen. So we'll talk, I'm sure, as we get closer to the end of the episode, some real practical ways that men could start to embody this era of their kingship, like we're talking about.
You know, from what I see, just, and it's men and women both, there's a certain element of just like, waking up. There's such a trance of society and so much commercial culture programming that is just feeding you false carrots to chase all the time. And if you're on that like hamster wheel of like, you think you're in society's program and you're doing it for all these reasons, but they're all just like kind of empty. And it's mostly money and status, like just chasing money and status because you think it's going to give you what you need or whatever. There's a feeling to that. It's empty and you can feel, and a woman can feel it in a man, you know, and it's like, it's not going to last. Like it might press her for a little bit, but then it's like, there's not like a substance behind it.
That's not your long-term relationship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it won't attract the queen. You'll attract a maiden because it's a queen who's come into her own queenship is looking for that shared mission. She's looking for substance. She's looking for the depth. I mean, we can get into the tantric conversation about it. It's like it's a deeper pleasure. It's a deeper pleasure. It's not like a clitoral orgasm. It's a deeper, you know, full body wave of pleasure that moves through a woman when she's with a man on a mission that is connected to, you know, at the very core of himself, like he's on purpose, you know, every time he touches her, every time he kisses her, every time he like, you know, takes her out or anything, it's like she gets to be a part of that masterpiece of that story of this legacy that's being built. It's just like, it's juicy, you know, it's like, I'm in this legacy, you know, he's giving her this like juicy story to be a part of. That's his fucking life that he's claimed and he's writing as this king who has this era and he's like building towards something meaningful and it's creating ripples and, you know, and it's just like when he's in that kind of juice, every touch of him is like tantalizing and exciting because you're a part of something with him. it's not empty and it's not shallow. And, you know, it's like drop the bass, you know, like, oh, like you want to get down in there, like, you know, have some real deal kind of, you know, experiences together.
I guess I'm doing something right. This is where we need to be right now, for sure.
Yeah. And I'll say, babe, because I know in our life too, like sometimes pain is the portal to it. Sometimes a man just not willing to feel the pain. He's not willing to say, yeah, my life is empty and I need to break this. I need to like interrupt the program. And so I watched you go through it. It's something where you earn your kingship. You don't just like get it because you turn a certain age. Like that rite of passage is like you die to who you were before and you're reborn in your kingship. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to witness, you know, and it's also like it's earned.
Yeah. You know, I was attending the Four Rooms Mastermind Intensive last weekend. There was a speaker, you know, Cody, and he said, in order for there to be a resurrection, there needs to be a death. Mm-hmm. And for us to rise again in who we are, is you as a man, a woman, some part of you has to die and you has to be reborn.
Yeah, that's another one of the, you know, most ancient symbols of life itself is like, you know, life and death, so rebirth. And what I want to say to that is that I think that what I've learned in it is that there's an essence, because dying is like one of the biggest fears of people, right? Like just to die, like we do everything in our whole world and not die, you know, that's like the number one goal of your day, right? To like not die today. And so it's kind of like counterintuitive to be like, my goal is now to die so I can be reborn, you know?
Metaphorically speaking, people.
Yeah. Well, what I found to be really helpful, because in marriage too, like you have to let each other die, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the keys. If you try to, you know, keep each other in a certain static, frozen sense of who you are because you're attached to it somehow, or it's keeps you comfortable, like your whole relationship starts to get dead, you know? And so it's...
Yeah, well, that ties back into the man being tapped into what's going on in his kingdom with his queen, with his children. If he's not tuned into that feedback, then it's going to be empty.
What has been really helpful for me is I say the pattern, not the person. Like if the patterns are dying, not the person. And so when you step into that death portal, it's like everything that is truly not me, like me is not dying. It's everything that's no longer me, everything that never was me, everything that's not authentic anymore is what's dying. And that can be helpful just even to the core survival part of you that's like, what are we doing here? You know? And I know I've said this to you before. I'm like, I am done with this version of you or what, you know, like this is no longer, you know, it's like, but this pattern I'm saying that to. Reminds me of that movie where he's like, screw
so, you know. Right? I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah.
But it is, it's the pattern. And yeah. If you know that, you can walk in there with a bit of confidence of like, okay, I'm going to make it through, you know, but all that is not truly me must die. It must go.
Yeah. Said another way, I remember getting advice when we got married from someone that had been married 20 years that said, allow each other to change. That's the secret. I am not the same man I was 12 years ago when we got married.
Definitely not. You get a Rolodex with me every day. What I wanted to say about that, because you mentioned a man taking inventory, and I think that this is groundbreaking. If a man can really get this, is that the woman is often your greatest feedback system. Our bodies are wired for more emotional intelligence, and emotional intelligence, basically, I mean, it's talked about in different ways, like emotional resilience is often how it's talked about, but our emotional intelligence is so much more. It's interwoven with our immune system. And it is what is scanning the environment for subtle fluctuations in the environment. And so we can tell when things change before they change. Like we can tell, and it's our emotional system, our emotional intelligence that's actually reading the field. And for women, because we are the ones that have children and nurse children and raise children, you know, nurture them, we're wired to be able to interpret the subtle fluctuations of their immune system, which is interconnected directly with the emotional intelligence. And so we are reading the emotional and environmental cues in a heightened way. And if you're tuned into us, you may not have that same network of intense emotional intelligence, but women, you know, more so do. And so we will be feeding you that information of like what the changes are in the environment. And so the relationship, and this is getting into the third thing, which is about how, you know, the real indicator of a king is like how he treats a woman.
Yeah. Just to back up though, that feedback, I have learned with you, I'll throw things out there just to see how, what happens to your energy as a response to what I'm saying, just to tell me that's a pathway to go down or not go down. It's just like an instant feedback system. It's true in a lot of ways where it's like, I am able to, and this is just how it's worked for me, to interpret in myself what's going on based on how it's being received, how it's being responded to. That's been really helpful for me. And to not take that personally. I think that's the other piece that a man could really benefit from hearing, because often feedback can be met in defense for, you know, lots of reasons. But we've learned that dance together. And that's been a beautiful art to like get to know each other's energy so well that I could feel when things are off. You absolutely can feel when things are off. And in the dynamic of a family, being tuned into the family and the energetic and emotional thermostat of where the family is at. And that's important, because there's lots of times that stuff gets hidden or suppressed or not felt, or one person's feeling it and can cause lots of challenges. So to have everyone synced up in that way, it's worked for us.
Yeah. And it's a new paradigm really to come into, where there's co-leadership or there's sacred union, where we're both co-leading our world and our mission, our family, and we're very dropped into our masculine and feminine core essence. And so,
right,
you know, I'm not trying to be the man and you're not trying to be the woman. It's like and at the same time, there's a mutual respect for our operating system.
That's going to have to be a whole nother series, is the masculine feminine operating systems and how they relate. Being for real on that, I do want to start to bring in the episode here, because I know we're also going to have the part three to this. I'm starting to bring this idea of this era of kingship into the present time, right? So there's a man out there that's like, okay, I'm either about to embark on this era or I'm in it. How do I maximize? How do I start actually dropping into being in this? So curious what you would say in that. You talked about awareness earlier, and now it's like, okay, how does it start to come into some movement or energy forward action?
Yeah, it's a whole world to explore, that whole era. You know, I know that part of it is a remembrance, I would say, just in really recognizing that there is that rite of passage and checking in to see if you have really actually taken the torch, is how I talk about it. Like, have you taken the torch of your kingship? Where you said, like, I claim my life and I claim that I'm here in a time period where I'm adding to the field, I'm adding to the world, I'm adding here. I recognize that and I take the torch of that. And it's like a vow to yourself that you are saying yes to that. You know, you're actually going to show up for that and then explore what that means to you. And so first of all, it's like really having that moment with yourself of like, have I taken that torch and have I actually said yes to my life in this deeper way that I'm going to fully live this, and I'm, you know, whatever it is for me, I'm a yes to showing up for it.
The quest.
Yeah. And I find the scariest thing to a woman is a man who's wobbling. If he doesn't even know if he's here for his own life, how is he here for me? You know, how can I really surrender into him when there's a wobble at his very core of his own stand for his own life? So starting there, and some of that can be getting through some places where maybe you do feel lost or you do feel disconnected or in a trance of society or whatever, but just even the desire of like, I don't need to even know what this means, but I feel the energy and I feel the rightness of it. And like, I make that claim, you know, it's a claim that you make.
Well, a lot of men feel people don't care, or two, where do I even go for something like that? You know, that's why Ignite the King was created. That's why we run our events and our immersive experiences and our rites of passage, because men need that. and they need that community and that support and that brotherhood to go to those deeper places. And it does take that like claim of, you know, it's a big thing to step into something, especially like, you know, our immersions where you're jumping in the deep end and you're saying, look, I'm willing to just see whatever I need to see. I don't have to know what it's going to be, which is often what I tell men. You don't have to know what it is. You just have to be willing to step over the edge and go to that place and trust that other people have you. And for a man, that could be a very new experience. Because I hear what you're saying, and it's like, yeah, I want that. I want that. I want to be in my kingship. I want to claim that. How the fuck do I do that? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that looks like. So I just put this call out to men out there that are in that place of like, I'm ready. I know what I need to do. I need to step forward in that. You know, we have an immersion coming up in May. It happens to be our King immersion. It is that container where we do all of these things, where you get to unplug from your life. You get to drop into who you really are. There's why you think you're coming. There's why you're really there. And then there's why you're really there. And it really is to step into that kingship.
Yeah. Having a place and a container and a guide, like you have for men, it's like that can take care of a lot. You don't have to figure it out. And I think that that's also what's been lost in our society is we usually have the elders and have others guiding us and not just trying to figure it out like we're figuring it out for the first time. It's like, this has happened before. We have a way, you know. The other thing I wanted to say about that is that what I see time and time again, because I do this with women as well, when they come into their queenship, is it's really about being able to stand in your power. You know, that's really what we're talking about. And to stand in your self-authority and your choice and your decision and your leader, your inner leader. And it's a self-responsibility of your life, you know, to take ownership for your life. And while that seems scary and while it seems like you got to go in the mystery and face all these things, it's like at the end of the day, you get there and you're like, what was I so scared about? This is actually where I want to be, you know? And though it's like getting out of the game of it, that it has to be hard and complicated and right. It has to be all these things, because yes, you do have to be willing to face the fire at times and feel the things that you've been trying to avoid and face the illusions that you've been allowing yourself to be in. And it's really coming into truth. You know, there's like at the end of the day, there's two things, truth and love. Like, can you love yourself? You know, can you love your life? And can you be honest about the places that you've gone numb and you've said you don't care and you've had conditioning as a young boy when you were growing up that you didn't matter, or you were abandoned, or you didn't get enough nurturing? Can you face all those feelings and like reparent yourself and say, you know what? I'm not going to believe those things anymore. Like, those stories don't serve me now. And I'm going to update that program that questions my worth and questions my value and questions whether I matter or I'm loved. And that's what we're talking about, you know, and that's another symptom of society where it's like our children really being fully nurtured up, you know, it's like a lot of them have those first few years of life is where we develop that core patterning. And so even if you're in the most nurturing setting, you can develop a core patterning that you want, you know, it's like, you got to go in there and update the program. And that's the self-leadership is like, I'm going to write this story. I'm going to come in with my own self-authority and I'm going to install, I'm going to ask myself, confront those illusions and say, is this really true? And come in with fresh eyes and not try to bullshit yourself, but also not try to play small and keep running some program that keeps you from really your contributions and keeps you from like seeing yourself in the light of God, like how God sees you, like the shame, the guilt, all the stigmas that men carry. It's like, that's what you're putting down at the altar to cross over into your power and your self-authority that says, no, that is not true. What is true is I'm a child of God. What is true is that every step that I take matters. What is true is this world fucking needs me. And the more that I keep believing that bullshit, the less I show. And so which one am I going to do? You know, and that's where that king power comes in, where it says, I'm willing to face the stories. I'm willing to face the lies. I'm willing to face the fire. And I'm willing to feel the emotions behind it. I'm not scared to have feelings. I'm not going to live in a stigma of, you know, that I'm supposed to be some person that just walks through life stoic. Like, I have feelings and here they are. And, you know, like, it's just getting whole with yourself. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Oh. Fired up. Love it. Thank you.
Yeah. And just to speak to magnetism for a moment for a man, because I know magnetism is also often talked about for a woman. When you're in that kingship and that mission, that is so sexy and so magnetic to a woman. It's like when his purpose is like deeply rooted in his soul and it's in servant leadership to something bigger. And you're literally watching his ripple and watching the legacy that he's building out. Like that is so hot. That is so hot. Like a woman wants to be by a man's side who's in that zone, you know? And so if that gives you like reason to champion yourself into it.
I'm taking notes. Hey, again, what is so hot?
She wants to walk in the room with a man and be on his arm. You know, like I said that to you. I think I wrote a post about it where it's like, I'm proud to be on your arm. Like you're doing these things and I see you. And just being a co-pilot on this mission is an adventure and it's, you know, alive and it's juicy and it's outrageous and it's meaningful. At the end of the day, you know, that's going to be an attractor for a certain level of fulfillment in your life and a certain woman, you know. But when you get to those like deep orgasmic bliss where you're just like, oh my God, you know, like the big O's, like that's when you're in the domain of servant leadership. And it's like a deeper experience of ecstasy and of bliss, and because you're rewarded for the contributions you make biochemically, you know, and so you get those experiences of ecstasy because you are in that relationship with the field itself.
Stick around for the next episode of the Ignite the King podcast. If you can't tell, it is going to get juicier and juicier. We've gone through two of the pillars here of a man and his kingship, part of our three-part series. Thank you so much for downloading with us today and sharing your wealth of wisdom and knowledge and energy. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today, for everyone listening.
Go ahead and like, share, and subscribe this episode. Aho.
Aho.